Thanks again for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. We're joined by Brian Mastelli, CEO and President of Inrix. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Great. We got a few announcements this week from Inrix. I want to first start off with the announcement that you made with Microsoft in providing them with real-time and historical traffic information. Can you tell me just how Microsoft is going to use the data and the kind of service that we can expect for them to see either mobile devices or web portals?
Sure. Well, we've had a relationship with Microsoft, obviously, for several years. In fact, Inrix was spun out of Microsoft Research about 3 years ago. You know, Microsoft, for the last couple of years, has offered real-time traffic on various websites, MSN Autos, Virtual Earth. But really, I think two things have happened to Microsoft. Number one is I think they see the potential to use truly nationwide traffic data, which is what Inrix offers for the very first time, to create a whole new set of compelling applications. And the second is to use new types of data, like our predictive data, to really differentiate Microsoft in terms of the products and services it can offer. So I'll give you a couple of examples. In addition to obviously using it in their mapping virtual earth type of services, an interesting application might be an Outlook. When you schedule a meeting, automatically having Outlook buffer the amount of time it'll take you to get from point A to point B based upon predicted traffic information and drive time. So that's an example of a desktop application that may be interesting you may see in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I know right now they have the MapPoint plugin for Outlook, and I've gone through the process of scheduling a meeting. So they're going to think about integrating really traffic, and I would assume that would use the predictive models.
Yeah, correct. I mean, obviously what prediction gives you is the ability to know what traffic will look like, you know, a day, a week, a month ahead of time. And the benefit is, of course, if there's an accident or there's some unexpected construction or event going on, you know, Outlook can alert you to that, or you can get an alert to your mobile device. So to give you an example, last week, President Bush was in town here in Seattle and shut down the entire freeway. That was not something that could have been planned for. But yet, you know, if you're able to give consumers that type of heads up, they can obviously adjust their plans accordingly. So I know Microsoft is thinking very broadly, not just about their online properties, their desktop properties, but obviously Microsoft has a set of mobile applications, mobile technology, as well as a variety of other type of applications that I think can take advantage of this in the near future.
Now, just a step through the process and using that example of the president coming to town, if an event like that is scheduled, you know, relatively shortly in advance, or at least there's some notification from the local DOT, how do you ingest that type of information and then spit it out in some of the real-time information? And that's got to go to Microsoft or whoever the, you know, service provider is.
Right. So basically two different things happen. The first is usually a Department of Transportation or a governmental agency will know about a presidential visit, you know, an hour or a couple hours ahead of time. And that information is collected by our partner, Clear Channel Communications. And we then take that information into our predictive models. So we're able, whether it be a sporting event that's going into overtime or whether it be a presidential visit, we're able to actually update our predictions based upon new incident information. And then obviously as the police start to shut down freeways in preparation for the motorcade, we're able to analyze all the real-time flow information about what's going on, what's getting shut down, so that we can update our predictions and our real-time information continually. And we update those every 5 minutes. So even though we're predicting a week or month, a year ahead of time, we're always taking into account new information and then updating it every 5 minutes. So in the case of Microsoft, you'd be able to get, like I said, an alert to either your computer, your mobile device, letting you know a couple hours ahead of time something's going to happen. And then as you decide to get in your car, we can give you the best route, how long it'll take, and all the most current information.
Now, you bring up a really interesting point that I don't think a lot of people are aware of is exactly how they're going to get, you know, the real-time traffic information. It could be a mobile device. It could be through a subscription service that they may have with an in-vehicle nav device. I guess it could also be, you know, if they're so lucky to have an RDS radio transmission. But I don't. I feel like that market is pretty much in its nation stage. What do you see out there in terms of the uptick in the number of subscription services, and is traffic becoming more and more a desired service?
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, we're still in a fairly nascent stage in terms of the overall market. There's only about 8% of vehicles right now shipping that have in-car nav systems. And what's interesting is about a year ago, almost none of those nav systems had real-time traffic. And the trend that you're seeing now is almost all of the nav systems that are being shipped as OEM equipment in vehicles are now starting to incorporate real-time traffic. BMW has made it a standard feature on all of their cars. I saw an announcement that Infiniti is starting to do the same. So clearly the trend is that every high-end nav system will have real-time traffic. In the portable navigation space, it's been even more pronounced. About a year and a half ago, I think there was only one model of portable navigation device, which was a TomTom that had real-time traffic. This last Christmas, you had more than 12 models. This Christmas, I think you'll have more than 20, 30 different models of portable nav devices using real-time traffic. And we're actually very pleased because about 9 of the top 10 portable navigation companies use Intrix data in their products. So I think because now for the first time we're able to offer truly nationwide data, now it becomes interesting for companies, both car companies, portable navigation companies, mobile application companies, to make this a standard feature in their products. And I think that's what you're seeing.
Right. One of the other announcements you had this week is a deal with Wisconsin DOT, leveraging some of your real-time traffic information. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because you know, they're using it for their traffic ops center. How else are they going to use it, and does that portend more deals with other DOTs?
Yeah, what was fascinating about what Wisconsin has done is they basically wanted monitoring on about 250 centerline miles of road on a couple of major corridors, US 41, I-43, between Milwaukee and Green Bay. But they didn't want to go through the expense and infrastructure of putting road sensors on that long stretch of road. This is primarily highways, interstate highways connecting two cities. So they basically said, we want to look at probe approaches. So we put together a proposal for them, as well as others. And basically, they looked at our probe data, they did testing, and it was this week that they signed off on complete system acceptance of using basically what we call our Smart Dust Network, which is using GPS probes to basically produce traffic data. And this is significant because this is the first time ever that a state DOT has adopted a probe-only approach for real-time traffic monitoring. And I do think that this is, you know, really the first of many DOTs around the country that will start to use this approach. I mean, Intrix now has about 65 markets, 65 cities, where we have real-time traffic flow data, and there are no sensors ever deployed. Miami's a good example. I can go St. Louis, Houston. This week we announced even markets, smaller markets, including things like Greenville, Birmingham, El Paso, Columbia, where we're able to offer that type of data. So I think certainly DOTs will take advantage of that and use it for their traffic operation centers, their, you know, monitoring boards, and the information they communicate out to people in those markets.
Yeah, I know many years ago there was a big push to, you know, put sensors in the highways, and, you know, that was always an expensive proposition. Are some of the vehicles that are deployed by the Wisconsin DOT, are they going to become part of the sensor network as well?
This is a case where we already have Intrix is already collecting the data for our purposes. So there were no special vehicles here. There was no special equipment that had to be put in vehicles. This is a case where there's plenty of trucks driving between Green Bay and Milwaukee, and we're able to work with those fleets, use the data that those fleets are already using to track their vehicles, and then use that, obviously, to create real-time traffic data. So for a state DOT like Wisconsin, this is actually a great implementation because it required no new infrastructure, it required no new investment, and we were able to turn on the data for them almost immediately after they did their system testing. But they're actually now live, and like I said, there was no investment on their part other than just purchasing data. So I think, like I said, the days of DOTs spending tens of millions of dollars deploying infrastructure certainly are coming to an end, and I think now the public sector can rely on the private sector to provide that type of information through other approaches.
Are there ways that you're refining the desk network, or are you picking and choosing the relationships with the commercial vehicle operators to provide you the real-time data? How are you managing that process?
Quite frankly, that's probably the hardest part about what we do, is managing our portfolio of data providers. Because really, there's two things you're looking for. In order to create what we call our DUS network, which is our network of GPS probes and a variety of other data feeds that we get, you really need two things. You need geographic dispersion, meaning you obviously, in order to launch a market, you need enough vehicles in each market to get enough density where you can produce accurate data. But the second thing you need is what we call temporal dispersion, or you need a good heterogeneous mix of vehicles to produce data 24 hours a day. So this means you have to work with taxi companies, limo companies, delivery vehicles, super shuttles, delivery trucks, long-haul trucks. You really want a nice mix in every given market to produce enough high-density data on all the roads and all the time of days that matter. And that is the hardest part about what we do. So we work literally with dozens and dozens of different fleets to collect data, to optimize data in each market. In many cases, we're updating firmware on the trucks to produce better data for us. And that's really the critical thing that Interix does that I think has really brought new innovation to this market.
Is there a threshold you look for in terms of aligning the relationships according to the areas that you're covering? In other words, I got to have this many vehicles at this much time of day?
Absolutely. We know exactly what it takes to get statistically accurate data in any given market or any given stretch of road. It's interesting. Most people think it's related to the number of trucks, and it's really not. It's actually related to the number of data points that you get. One truck reporting every 10 minutes is, about equivalent to us as 10 different trucks reporting, actually, the other way around. but it's the total number of data points that matter for us. So what we've been able to do is work with our fleets, increase reporting frequencies from once every half an hour, once every 15 minutes, and now almost all of our fleets report every minute or every couple of minutes to us, which is what gives us that increased density, which produces more accurate data.
One of the things I noticed that you going into new markets this past week, and you announced 5 new markets, smaller market cities, that you base on the core-based statistical area, the CBSAs. Is that a firm region that you base going into a market? In other words, you're confined by the CBSA, or would you take smaller areas, city limits, to be the criterion for which you would go into a new market?
No, we're not at all confined by CBSAs. The reason we use that statistic, which is obviously the Census Bureau defined market areas, is really to create apple-to-apples comparison with other providers in the market. The challenge you've always had in the traffic industry is everybody can claim they have, 20 markets, 30 markets, 40 markets, and the question everyone's always had is, what's a market? So we, and as well as Clear Channel, have standardized on using CBSAs. I know NAVTEC, in response, has also standardized on using CBSAs to create really an apples-to-apples count. So when we say we have 100 markets, we count by CBSAs. I think NAVTEC right now is around 31 markets as counted by CBSAs, so it just makes it easier to count. The truth is, because of our unique approach using probe data and a variety of other data, we actually have data pretty much everywhere in the United States right now. The question is, where do we have enough critical mass of data to produce accurate results? So what we do is we look at different markets, we look at different stretches of road, and continually analyze where we get enough density, and that's what dictates where we turn on markets. Quite honestly, I think the concept of a market probably goes away over the next 6 months, and we'll stop quoting markets because now we're starting to light up entire stretches of road. For instance, the I-95 corridor between Maine and Florida, that crosses, probably 20 different markets, at least 10 different states. Well, we could light up that whole freeway. So I think what becomes more important now is miles of road and less about market coverage in terms measured by total number of markets. And that's actually a more interesting statistic for us. And right now we're at about 55,000 miles of road as compared to, NAVTAC, which collects data from road sensors, that's at about 8,000 miles of road. So Like I said, I think you'll see that evolve over the next year in terms of how coverage is counted.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Yeah, you bet.